Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
Americans worshiping government over God.
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This idea of
checks is not
Do you think that we are in the end times?
Well, I think it very well could be. And, of course, people have been saying it, I'm sure, for thousands of years based on what they read in the Bible. I think it's definitely a good time for him to come. I think there's a lot of us that want him to come really, really soon because of the way the world is getting to be.
Let me ask you something. Do you think you would know who the Antichrist was?
I'm not sure. He supposedly fools a heck of a lot of people. Even by reading the Bible, I'm not sure you can identify the Antichrist until it's too late.
Do you think we're in the end times?
I think we're at the break of it. It's, look at all the chaos around the world. The government overthrowing everything, throwing out stuff that, it's a lot of stuff, man.
That's for sure. Let me ask you something. Do you think that you could identify the Antichrist?
Oh, no. Nobody's ever going to know who that is until it happens.
Do you think we're in the end times?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like, there's radio stations out there, so y'all got a good shot.
Why do you think that?
There's a lot of empty stations out there.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think you could identify the Antichrist when he shows up?
Probably. So this is some paranormal stuff, right?
Wow, that's what they're talking about in the marketplace of ideas when it comes to the end times. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. We're going to talk about the end times, and that generally means there are going to be a lot of questions. So how about I give you the phone number? 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. If I seem distracted, I'm a little stuck on the empty radio stations part. I'm not quite sure how that all works into the end time, but that's a conversation, I guess, for another day. If you think we are in the end times, I have a question for you. This will be on the test. I do not grade on a curve. What role, if any, does the nation of Israel play in all of that? And are there some prophetic mysteries revolving around Israel when it comes to the end times? I bet I really have your attention now. 877-548-3675. This is going to be a fabulous conversation because I get to be with one of my very favorite people, Jonathan Burness, who's CEO and president of Jewish Voice Ministries International. I love the way he teaches. I love the way he preaches. I love the way he writes. He does a fabulous job hosting his television program, which I love, love, love watching on television. I hope you're looking that up as well. It's all part of Jewish Voice Ministries. But he's got a brand new book. It's called Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel, Seven Keys to Understanding Israel's Role in the End Times. This is going to be good. 877-548-3675. Oh, Jonathan, I've been so waiting for this conversation. I thank you, my friend, for spending the hour with me.
Janet, me too. Thank you for having me back. And I just want to say this. I'm at a conference of Messianic Jewish leaders this week.
Oh, cool.
Actually, the majority of leaders from America, many from Israel and other places of the world, and they love you. They absolutely love you. So that's been a buzz around here. I'm going off to do an interview with Janet, and oh, we love her. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Oh, a big group hug for everybody there, truly. And how exciting. You are there with Messianic believers talking about the role that Israel is going to play in the end times. Wow. So I got to ask you, only because of the way that you were gracious enough in sharing that with me, as we see the number of Messianic believers in Israel starting to enlarge, I mean, there was a time when it was literally a handful, and now there may be, according to some reports, between 15 and 20,000 Messianic believers there. Jonathan, is that all part of what's going to happen before the Lord returns? Are we going to see an increase in the number of Messianic believers there?
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. And in fact, from my study of Scripture, which is not impartial, I'm partial as a Jewish believer, but I think it's objectively clear in Scripture that the greatest single event to happen before Jesus returns is the inflow of Jewish people into the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus, in as he wept over Jerusalem, said this, "You will not see me again." He was speaking to the people of Israel after saying, "How often I've longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not listen." And then he said this, "You will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I see that as the Jewish people cry out to Jesus, to Yeshua, and recognizing, as the prophet Zechariah wrote about in chapter 12, recognizing the one whom they've pierced and mourning for him as one mourns for his only son, because they recognize that he is their promised Messiah.
Wow. Gives you goosebumps. Oh, I'm so excited. So with great anticipation, we wait for the arrival of our redemption, and we watch to see what's happening in Israel. So basic Bible 101, Jonathan, before I unlock some of these keys, what does Scripture tell us about the role of Israel in end times? You know, we heard people being asked about the Antichrist with a lot of conversation about whether you're pre, mid, post-tribulation, what's the millennial, all of these questions that get wrapped around. And yet, sitting in the midst of all that conversation is the nation of Israel. What role will she play in the end times?
Well, a number of different roles that I think all tie into one grand role, which is the redemption of the earth. I'm really kind of a one-trick pony. I was thinking about that today, because every time I teach, I end up talking about the role of Israel and how this is part of a larger epic plan that God designed before the foundation of the world to restore a broken world. Israel plays into that and is foundational to that ongoing saga. But that's the desire of God since the fall of man, the restoration of man. God's all about restoration, and Israel is key to that. I'm absolutely convinced. And let me just say this. Maybe you have to take a break, but I want to define Israel. I think it's very important to define
Israel.
Yes.
Excellent. Then, Jonathan, that's exactly where we'll come back when we return. I am thrilled that Jonathan Burness is with us. He is the host of Jewish Voice with Jonathan Burness. Check your local TV listings. Watch that program on a regular basis. It's fabulous. And he's a great author as well as a great teacher. His newest book, Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel, 7 Keys to Understanding Israel's Role in the End Times. 877-548-3675. Back after this. We are living in an age of unprecedented skepticism and doubt. Now more than ever, it's important to know what we stand for and why. We need to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that resides within us. This month's Truth Tool will help you greatly. It's called Truth Matters, Confident Faith in a Confusing World. It's yours when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org.
Do you think we're in the end times?
I think when Paul was writing, Peter was writing, when they called it the end times, I think they were thinking of their age and speaking kind of presently. I don't think that's changed. I think it's just continued on.
I do believe that. Absolutely. I believe just everything that's happening in the world. I believe one of the things that, you know, Jesus said everyone will hear. And I think no time better than now that people can really hear it all across the world, through media, through radio, through internet. So I definitely believe it.
I don't want to predict what God told me not to predict. He said nobody knows. So I'm going with that.
Going with that. This is In the Market with Janet Parshall. We have the privilege, and I count it as such, to spend the hour with Jonathan Burness, who's CEO and president of Jewish Voice Ministries International and the host of Jewish Voice with Jonathan Burness. And he's a great author. So here's his newest book, and it follows suit with the work that the Lord has called him to. It's called Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel. And in the book, he takes a look at 7 keys to understanding the role that Israel is going to play in the end times. Just before the break, though, and I love the way Jonathan said he's a one-trick pony. No, what he is really faithful to Israel, and it all ties back to the Word of God and the understanding of what that precious piece of land is going to do in the future, is in the present, and what it has done in the past. So you said we've got to start by defining Israel, Jonathan. So give us the definition of Israel. Are we talking land? Are we talking people? Are we talking concept?
Yes. All of those play a part in the definition. So most people, when they hear the word Israel, think of the sliver of land in the Middle East, about the size of New Jersey, that's a little island of democracy in the midst of a sea of Islam, a miraculous little nation that has survived against all odds. And that is miraculous. It's absolutely miraculous. But the reason that it's called Israel is because of the people of Israel that the land was promised to way back in Genesis chapter 12 and then reiterated in Genesis 15 and 17. So if we go back to Genesis 12, we meet this guy named Abram. It's not even Abraham yet. Mm-hmm. And God calls him just, it seems randomly. We don't know why. We don't know how God spoke to him. Just that God had told this man who was living in the midst of idolatry and, according to rabbinic literature, actually ran with his father an idol shop. I don't know if you ever heard that story from the book of Jasher. It's in the Pseudepigrapha that that Abraham's father owned an idol shop, and when Abraham had this revelation of the one true God, he destroyed all the idols except for one, and then when his father came home and saw all the idols destroyed, he was furious, and Abram blamed the destruction of the idol shop on the one remaining idol. It's a funny story. One that I looked for in Scripture when I became a believer and couldn't find, and then realized it's not in the Bible.
Right.
But here this Abram is called of God to leave everything that he knew behind and to go to a land that he would show him. So this is a step of faith, an act of faith. Abraham has to wake up every day and ask God, which direction today? And God brings him into the land that is today Israel. In fact, the land that was promised to Abram and his offspring was actually much larger than Israel is today, much larger geographical boundaries. And God then says, I want to, my desire in the Hebrew, the desire of my heart, my intent is to make you into a great nation. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse the one who curses you. In fact, again, in the Hebrew, we see a larger blessing and a smaller cursing, God's intent. And by the way, history has borne out that that decree is just as true today as it was back then, that those who bless Israel are blessed and those who curse Israel are cursed. And then he says this, and this is the key to everything, that through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now we see God's heart and purpose for Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and then through Jacob, and then the 12 children of Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel, and then we have the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a people that God chooses to be a light to the world, to be a blessing to the world, to bring the revelation of the one true God to the world. And so when we talk about Israel, we have to understand that this is a people, not just a land. It's a land and a people. It's a people attached to a land. And the fact that the land of Israel has been restored to the people of Israel is one of the most prophetic signs that we're in the last days. You want to point to an event that marks a delineation in history and a change prophetically of the landscape. It's the restoration of Israel, the return of the people of Israel back to their land, and the return of Jerusalem as the capital in 1967. And we're celebrating the 70th year of Israel on the land very soon. In just a few months, we'll be celebrating the 70th birthday of Israel as a nation, and we just celebrated this past year the 50th anniversary of the restoration of Jerusalem, We're talking about a people that have not only survived but prospered. Janet, that's a miracle. That's a biblical miracle.
You bet. Wow. And the fulfillment of prophecy. Wow. Amazing.
Absolutely.
All right. Let me take a break. I've got some great questions online. Jonathan Burness is with us. He's a marvelous author and teacher and host, of course, Jewish Voice with Jonathan Burness, because he's the president and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries International. His latest book, Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel. So if you've got questions about Israel and the end times, I want to hear from you. 877-548-3675. We're going to come back. I'm going to go right to the phones and get some of your questions. Back after this.
Do you think we're in the end times?
Oh, yeah. Well, you just look at everything that's taking place all over the world, whether it's in the U.S. or in Israel or the Middle East. Absolutely, I believe. We don't know the day or time, but I think it's going to be soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I just believe that all of what's going on in this day and age is definitely proof that people have turned away from God, have itchy ears, developed their own ideas, living in more licentiousness and greed and debauchery. It's just proof that, yeah, it's coming down. And I know a lot of the writers were thinking that Jesus was coming swiftly, like right then there in their time. They're expecting the resurrection to be here. But, you know, we're in that same time period where we're still waiting for Christ's second return.
Wow. I tell you, that's what they're talking about in the marketplace of ideas. Everybody's interested in this, by the way, whether they know Jesus as their personal savior or not. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts, and it follows, doesn't it, that there was a beginning, there would be an end. Now, how that'll happen, when it'll happen, where it'll happen, what it'll look like, well, that creates a lot of conversation. But in the midst of all of that is the nation of Israel. Must never forget that. Jonathan Burness knows that full well. He's CEO and president of Jewish Voice Ministries International, and his newest book is Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel. And in his book, he takes a look at seven keys to help us better understand the role that Israel is going to play in the end times. I want to get your questions answered because you've got a great teacher here in Jonathan. 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Let me go to Brian in Indiana. Brian, thanks, and your question, please.
Hi, Jan. Thanks for taking my call. Jonathan, my question is, what if Israel rejects the second coming based off of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict?
So that's a great question, and I'll try to turn it around. From my understanding, and I talk about it in the book, Brian, in some depth, according to Acts 3 and Romans 11, which talk about the people of Israel coming back to God, the men of Israel turning back to God, and releases times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, or as it says in Romans 11:15, life from the dead, I think Jesus is actually waiting for that event. So I see the return of Jesus being triggered by the blindness coming off of the eyes of the Jewish people, both outside, but more specifically within the land. So Israel has to cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," or we won't see the second coming of Jesus, which is promised. It will happen. So just as Jesus will return, the blindness will come off of the eyes of the Jewish people. It's already been written. So the end of the story's already been written. How it will play out, I don't know. But I believe that that event triggers the return of Jesus back, not to Rome or New York or even a spiritual Jerusalem, but physically to Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives, in the same way that he departed from. So that's my understanding, that it has to happen and will happen according to Scripture. It's just a matter of when and how.
Wow. Brian, thank you. Appreciate the question very much. 877-548-3675. Larry, let me welcome you from Oregon. Glad you're here, and your question, please.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to you. Since God is the God of conditions, so that he can show his unconditional love, have Christians made idle out of grace versus the law being blinded, just like the Greeks did, making idols out of the three daughters of Zeus, the Graces? And is that going to blind the church while God reveals himself to Israel like Joseph did to his brothers in the end times? How do you see that all working out?
Wow, Larry. Janet, that's... should I dive into that?
Please.
All right. Let me dive into this, Larry. Actually, the whole grace law conflict is something that I see differently in Scripture. First of all, I need to affirm that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, and that every Messianic Jewish leader that even keeps the dietary laws and observes the holidays believes that we're saved by grace alone. Grace plus nothing equals salvation. But we appropriate that grace through faith. We have to individually appropriate that grace by crying out to God, by inviting the Savior into our lives. Having said that, I don't see a conflict between grace and law, and I don't see the God of the Old Testament as a God of just judgment and wrath, and the God of the New Testament as a God of just mercy and forgiveness. I see the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and so I understand the New Testament or the New Covenant being built upon the Mosaic Covenant with better promises. So instead of the law being written on tablets of stone, the law is now written in our hearts and minds. Instead of God embracing and raising up a people, the nation of Israel, he now brings us into adoption through his Son, by which we cry, Abba, Father. And instead of sins being atoned for and covered through an animal sacrificial system, sins are now completely blotted out and remembered no more through Jesus the Messiah. So to me, they go hand in hand. I think that people that miss out on God's standards of holiness and sanctification and dying to self miss out on an incredible, abundant life now and may risk missing out on what's ahead. But I see a very compatible scripture between grace and law. I don't know if that answers the question, but I'm glad I got that out.
Yeah, and I thank you for that answer, Jonathan. All right, let me take a break. Boy, we're halfway through. This is flying. 877-548-3675. We're taking a look at the prophetic mysteries of Israel and the role that Israel will play in the end times. Jonathan Burness, our guest, CEO and president of Jewish Voice Ministries International. More of your questions at 877-548-3675 when we return. Christians are called to go into the marketplace of ideas. Throughout history, men and women of God have been thought leaders, innovators, and forces for good. We want this program to continue in that bold tradition. Join me by becoming a partial partner. Your monthly gift will make a difference as we help Christians take a bold stand in the marketplace of ideas. Call today, 877-JANET-58, or go online to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org.
Do you think we're in the end times?
I do, but I just don't know. We don't know the day or the hour, so I don't know how close to the end. But absolutely, with all this going on, I feel like it's not too far off.
Because it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And the Bible said that all this would happen, so it has to be true.
I think just believing that whenever God chooses to come back, that's when it's supposed to be, just waiting.
I'm not sure, but it certainly feels that way.
I just see how our world is groaning. For us coming back, and you can just see how the times are just showing up, and I just believe in prophecy, so I believe everything's just going to start falling in place. So, yep.
Could be. I don't know.
Could be. Yep. Any day now, I'm hoping my bags are packed. I'd like to not make it to supper time, but hey, that's just me. Jonathan Burness is with us, president and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries International. Fabulous teacher, terrific TV host, and I love his writing. So his newest book is called Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. If you're interested at all in end times, if you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, if you care about the nation of Israel, you really need to understand the role that Israel is going to play in the end times. And Jonathan gives you seven keys to better understand that and unlocks it in his book. I got every line lit. I'm not the least bit surprised. 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. Let me go to Yvette, who joins me from Florida. Yvette, your question, please.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy your program. I was just wondering about the temple, whether they are considering rebuilding it or not, or what stage that is at?
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting question that I've been following pretty closely since the mid-1980s. So here's the facts, as I'm aware of them. There is not a temple being rebuilt currently, but there are some things to note that are fascinating. One, there's a growing movement, or movements, more accurately, to rebuild the temple, although it's not accepted yet by the mainstream in Israel, either the secular or Orthodox communities. There is a growing movement to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount, not somewhere else, but on the Temple Mount, which raises a lot of other questions, Janet, because how is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there's a growing movement really is of interest. Israel was formed as a nation as a result, of course, of God's supernatural intervention, but it began with a movement way back in the late 19th century called the Zionist movement, and Jews started moving to Israel actually in the 1850s and 60s, so the movement preceded the actual restoration. We have a movement to rebuild the temple. We also have a group that are rebuilding the furniture of the temple, the lampstand and the table of showbread, and are actually trying to raise a genetically pure red heifer. Because the ashes of the red heifer are required. So I find that fascinating that this movement has been growing, and I've watched it grow, and I've met with some of the leaders of this movement and interviewed them. So it's very real, it's very genuine, and I think that's of great interest when we talk about the last days and the possibility, the likelihood of a rebuilt temple that will be desecrated by the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. 877-548-3675. Joseph in Ohio, I appreciate your being with us. Please, your question.
My question is, Revelation chapter 7, and also reference to the same group in Revelation 14, about 144,000 Jewish servants of God, with a bond servants of the Lord with the foreheads or sealing on their foreheads of some kind, identifying them. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes are apparently going to be evangelists during the tribulation time. And in the verses following that, chapter 7 talks about the great number of people that no man could number were apparently being saved during the ministration of that 144,000. Among the Jews today, are they identifying those people, you think, today that they know who they are or likely will be of that 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes?
Well, I think they will be Jews, physical Jews, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They'll clearly be followers of the Lamb, which means they'll be born again. And I heard shortly after I became a believer in 1980 that I was one of the 144,000, which I found troubling because it meant that I wasn't going to be taken up in the rapture. Mm-hmm. I've tried to deal with that for the last 37 years, and I've watched a growing community of Jewish believers in Jesus throughout the world as the blindness that Paul talks about in Romans 11:25 is coming off of their eyes. There's more Jewish people that believe in Jesus today than probably any time since the first century, if not more, and certainly more than the last 1,900 years of history combined. And estimates that I've heard, and there's no way to really be for know this for sure, because there's no census that declares how many Jewish people are that are born again believers in Jesus. But the estimates are as high as 500,000, and more realistically, about 250,000, and at least 100,000 just in the United States. Are they the 144,000? I really don't know. Are they evangelists that will be raised up in a tribulation period? I don't know. I don't have that one figured out, but it's very compelling, and I take it literally.
Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate your being with us. Angela in Tennessee, let me welcome you. Thanks, Angela, for being here.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me?
Your question, please. I sure can. Your question, please.
Okay, I wanted to know more about the rapture and if it would be taking place and if he knows anything about it.
Angela, wow, this is one of the... I've had guests on my program that have made a very strong case for a pre-tribulation rapture. I've had guests on my program that have made a very strong case for a mid-tribulation rapture or a pre-wrath rapture. And I've had guests on my program that have made a compelling case for a post-tribulation rapture. And each time a guest finishes, I'm convinced they're right. But I've been going through this cycle for so many years. Janet, you might want to add to this. I don't know. I hope for a pre-tribulation rapture. I prepare for a post-tribulation rapture. I don't know. We have to be ready to leave today. And we have to be prepared to stay and endure to the end. So what do you think about this, Janet?
Well, I absolutely love what you just said. And, you know, it's one of those where we can agree to disagree agreeably. All I know is that he's coming again. And I want to be prepared for whenever that happens. So let me draw this back to Israel again. And that is, do we have any indication from Scripture when that takes place? We're going to be taken up, as the scriptures say, that rapazo, that wonderful Greek word. Is it going to happen in Jerusalem first? I mean, do we have any clarity from scripture on this? In other words, in that moment, whenever it occurs on the eschatological timeline, does Israel factor into that?
Wow. Well, believing Israel, absolutely. Believing Israel is part of the legacy of the church. Or more accurately, the church is part of the legacy of believing Israel through the ingrafting of the wild branches that Romans 11 talks about. I'm not sure if the mass salvation of Israel, which has to happen before Jesus returns, and I can't tell you whether all Israel being saved is every last one or the great majority, but that's what it says in Romans 11:26, all Israel shall be saved. And then chronologically following that, the Redeemer will come to Zion. He'll come physically, bodily to Jerusalem. That we know is a fact. So whether that's relegated for a tribulation period where the church has exited, or that actually takes place before a rapture and we all are part of affecting the salvation of Israel, I'm not sure. I lean towards it happening now and presently before rapture, because I'm seeing, Janet, just from my experience, I'm seeing thousands of Jewish people come to faith in Jesus. Thousands. Yes. And that's not an exaggeration. Thousands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if that's not a triple goosebump experience, I don't know what is. 877-548-3675. Let me go to Lito. Lito joins us from Washington State. Lito, I thank you so much for being here. And we'll take your question, please.
Oh, thank you, Janet, for taking my call. My question was regarding the 10 tribes of Israel that were lost in Scripture. And I'm just curious, where are they?
Oh, I love that question. Lito, that's you just hit a nerve for me, and I talk about it in the book. Mm-hmm. And the reason I love it so much is because our ministry is very focused on going to tribes in Africa, like the Lemba in the bush of Zimbabwe, the Beta Israel in Ethiopia, the Itzak in the Eber tribes in Somaliland, that have an oral tradition going back hundreds of years that they are descendants of the lost tribes of Israel. And it's just some amazing things. They have, they keep their, the dietary laws because they've been handed down to them. The Lemba have kosher butchers. And DNA testing has now proved their claim that they're part of the tribe of Levi. That's amazing. God's restoring them.
Yeah, wow. Lito, thank you so much for the question. I appreciate it. The brand new book by Jonathan Burness is called Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel. If you go to our website, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, there's the cover of the book. It's spectacular. Trust me, it'll grab your attention. And then I have a direct link to Jewish Voice Ministries International so you can follow what Jonathan does and learn more about their fabulous outreach. Let me take a break. Back to the phones when we return.
Do you think we're in the end times?
It's always the end times. Well, the world's falling apart. And I have to believe, because of what the Bible says about all the things that are happening now, that, I mean, it could be the end times anytime.
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, as we see what's going on around us, it does make us think, you know, what's going on. And so, not only the fact that we're living in the end time, I think it's also good to make sure that we know God's word more in order to fulfill the end time.
Maybe. I have no idea.
No. Just feel like we're not. Just everything's going good right now.
No. Still got a lot more to go.
Sorry. Everything's going good now? Whoa. I'll tell you what. This is not as good as it gets. 877-548-3675. Unlocking the prophetic mysteries of Israel. Hey, he wrote it. I can say it better than that. Unlocking the prophetic mysteries of Israel. Seven keys to understanding Israel's role in the end times, written by Jonathan Burness, who's president and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries International. Every line remains lit in this conversation. Aaron in Illinois, I welcome you, sir, and your question, please.
Hi there. I was just wondering if the fall feasts are anything to do with end times, like the spring feasts are for his first coming.
Aaron, that's a great question, and that I do think you're absolutely right on. If you look at the spring feasts, Passover, First Fruits, and Shavuot, or Pentecost, you see them directly connected to the redemptive work of Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He comes as the Lamb of God. He lays down his life at Passover, at the same time that the Passover lambs are sacrificed. All symbolism back to the road map that is laid out for us in Exodus chapter 12. He's resurrected from the dead as the first fruits of life from the dead, and then the outpouring of the church takes place on the pilgrimage feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, which was the first harvest of wheat, which is symbolic of souls. In the same way, the fall feasts, after a long break in time, Rosh Hashanah, which really biblically is Yom Teruah, the blowing of the sounding of the shofar or the trumpet, and then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and the final feast, Sukkot or Tabernacles, I believe are directly connected to his return to this earth as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. When the last trump sounds in heaven, when the Jewish people mourn for him and experience a true Yom Kippur, as they recognize their covering, which is what Kippur means, and then the final ingathering, Sukkot, the final harvest of the season. So absolutely, this is a prophetic picture of the redemptive work of the first and second comings of Christ in the spring feast, and then yet to be fulfilled, the fall feasts.
Mm. Thank you, Aaron, so much for the question. 877-548-3675. Matt in Illinois, your question now, please, for Jonathan, please.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Very interesting topic. So as I'm looking at, like, Isaiah 66, I associate that with the end times, and it sounds like it's referring to the restoration of the law, the dietary restrictions and all that kind of thing. I wanted to see, do you think that that's going to be restored when Israel is restored, or how do you view that?
Gosh, that is a really interesting question. What you're asking, really, what will be the faith and observance of restored Israel when Jesus comes back? You mean during the millennial age, I assume, or during the Messianic mm-hmm. kingdom? Am I understanding mm-hmm. that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I would read Isaiah 66. And I look at Galatia, it comes from a conservative background where there's a lot of legalism, and Galatians seems to, like, hit that head on, like, throw that slave woman out. And so it kind of seems contrary, so maybe there's a better explanation than what I can come up with.
So, this is a fairly lengthy question and answer, but I will say this. Galatians is about soteriology. It's about how we're saved, and the keeping of the law is not compatible with personal salvation. In fact, I'll say this, maybe people listening have never heard this, there is no personal salvation in the Mosaic Covenant other than the Messiah that was promised. It was only a foreshadow of what was to come. So the sacrificial system lays the foundation for the sacrifice of the Messiah, who then provides a individual atonement for individual salvation and a place in heaven. But that's not, the Mosaic Law was only pointing to what would come. Now, as far as Isaiah 66, which is a pretty challenging question, what will be the lifestyle of Jewish believers in Yeshua and all people during the millennial or Messianic age? It always is about grace, and even the existence of a temple in the Messianic age or the millennial kingdom, I believe, is an object lesson pointing back to the history of God's redemptive plan unfolding. But it culminates in the Messiah, who brings by grace eternal life and redemption from sin once and for all. That doesn't change at any period in history.
Mm. And I thank you so much, Mark, for being with us. Wow, a challenge. So many people online, 877-548-3675. Miriam in Miami, I welcome you. A real quick question, because he'll give you a quick answer.
Yes, I have come for him, but I have one. Right now, we have a lot of people that came to Jerusalem, aside from people from Israel. We have Muslims that came to Jerusalem as their own. What is going to happen with all of them when the end time comes? Or
Okay. Jonathan.
Well, I think they'll be incorporated into a Messianic age, and they'll share in the riches of the kingdom of God if they embrace Jesus as their Messiah and Savior.
Yeah, what a great answer. And Miriam, thanks for the question. I appreciate it. My apologies to the rest of you who are online and had so many questions. Jonathan, you got to come back again soon, and let's just continue this conversation, because there's a lot of interest in the end times. But also, I want our friends to really understand the crucial key role that Israel, in all of its sense and all of its definitions, plays in the end times. An excellent book that deals with this is Jonathan's brand new one, Unlocking the Prophetic Mysteries of Israel, Seven Keys to Understanding Israel. Role in the end times. Check it out at InTheMarket with JanetMarshall.org. Thank you, friends. I'll see you next time.